Some economists worry Australia could be headed for a second lockdown-induced recession. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. In about 10 minutes, the Australian state of Victoria will enter its sixth COVID-19 lockdown. Affecting more than 6 million people, the lockdown will last for about a week in an area that's experienced the nation's most severe coronavirus outbreak. Though just 8 new cases were identified, vaccination rates in Australia are among the lowest in the developed world, and concerns about the Delta variant are rising. The BBC's Phil Mercer explains that as efforts to vaccinate the population continue, officials are now bracing for the economic impact of restrictions on its biggest cities.
Well, Australia went 3 decades without a recession. It's now looking quite likely, according to forecasters, that it could have 2 recessions in just over a year. The forecast is for this September quarter for the Australian economy to be extremely grim. ANZ, which is one of Australia's main banks, it's forecasting the economy will shrink in this quarter by 1.3%. The Commonwealth Bank is even more gloomy. It's forecasting a fall of 2.7%. And what that, of course, translates into some businesses collapsing, jobs lost, and incomes lost as well.
Has the government talked about any potential support measures that it will introduce to try and stave off some of this economic impact from these lockdowns?
We've already seen some input from the New South Wales government, for example, here in Sydney, and state authorities are offering some financial assistance to businesses. But with lockdowns in other parts of the country, there will be very loud calls for the federal government to step in with the sort of mammoth financial assistance it brought in last year that did protect many hundreds of thousands of jobs.
And these lockdowns come as Australia faces growing numbers of cases, obviously, although the country has avoided the kinds of huge case numbers and death tolls that we've seen in other countries, though. Just 20% of the population is fully vaccinated. Is the government working to secure more doses, and what has happened to put the country so far behind other nations?
Briefly, I think there was a lot of complacency. This was a country that had comparatively low rates of coronavirus infections and low rates of fatalities. The government earlier this year was saying that there was no great rush to get everybody vaccinated. There's been a problem with supply. There has been vaccine hesitancy too. But it does seem that the road back to freedom for people to go out and spend money, to travel, to reinvigorate the economy, does rely on those jabs in arms.
The BBC's Phil Mercer for us in Sydney. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Victoria.
Checking the numbers now, global stock markets are a little changed today, but that hasn't stopped European stocks from hitting fresh records thanks to upbeat earnings reports. The Stock 600 index is up 0.3%, while benchmarks across Asia ended their session mixed. To Iran now, where the nation's new president, Ibrahim Raisi, will be inaugurated later today. He's promised to restore public trust in government and take steps to improve the economy. But the public and international officials have their doubts, as the BBC's Paul Adams reports.
Ibrahim Raisi's hardline reputation and alleged involvement in human rights abuses in the 1980s mean that this is a leader viewed with suspicion and misgivings in the West. At a ceremony on Tuesday, Mr. Raisi promised to improve living conditions and restore what he called tarnished public trust. He has an enormous challenge on his hands. Iran has been rocked by yet another wave of street protests, triggered in part by severe water shortages. Mr. Raisi has promised to get crippling international sanctions lifted, but knows this can't happen without some kind of modified nuclear agreement like the one reached in 2015. Negotiations in Vienna about this have been on hold for the past 6 weeks.
Paul Adams there. Well, 16 months into this pandemic, many of us, I think, could do with a change of scenery. That is becoming more possible as employers implement more flexible working arrangements, and some countries are taking advantage of that. The United Arab Emirates is offering remote work visas, as the BBC's Samir Hashmi explains from Dubai.
Everybody, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are.
Hello.
Hi, Marco.
Saying hello to his clients from his new workplace.
Okay, fantastic. I can hear you.
After spending years in Singapore, Marco Villa is connecting with them virtually for the first time from his new home, Dubai. As a corporate trainer, his job involved traveling to different parts of the world to conduct workshops. But since last year, he's been doing them online, like this session. So when Dubai started rolling out remote work visas, Marco decided to relocate.
Dubai is uniquely placed in the globe to allow me to work with places as far as Australia and the United States and still doing it within acceptable working hours.
Like Marco, more than 2,000 people have applied for remote work visas since it was launched by Dubai. The scheme allows people to live in the UAE for 1 year, including those that work for companies that don't have a base here. However, the program has entry barriers. Applicants need to be earning $5,000 per month after tax. More than 20 countries, including Portugal, Maldives and Antigua, have launched similar visa schemes. But the authorities here believe that the country's glitzy appeal and high vaccination rate gives it an edge. Businesses are also looking at this as a long-term opportunity. Entrepreneur Lal Bhatia and his real estate partners are building apartments across Dubai, designed specifically for people planning to move here to work remotely.
What we are trying to do with this whole concept of work from home is to create a conducive environment.
As we walk around the construction site, he tells me that all these homes will include a separate work area and other facilities required while working from home.
If you are looking at a big Silicon Valley tech company who have these huge campuses, that campus has all kinds of, you know, meal programs and daycare programs and pet care programs. So what is going to help the company is save those costs when they come here.
So, and yeah, we're speaking about what should we do in terms of, you know, exploring the area.
Marco and his partner are enjoying exploring cafes and restaurants in Dubai. They feel lucky to be able to shift to another city. However, many international firms are reluctant to deal with the paperwork necessary when sending their workers overseas. For many freelancers, however, the new Dubai visas can make work from home a very different experience. In Dubai, I'm the BBC's Samir Hashmi. For Marketplace.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.